December 1920. Ian Rutledge drove through the night, his mind only partly on the road unwinding before him. He was north of London, and a little to the east of it as well, but he had no particular destination in mind. At this late hour, he should have been asleep in his flat in London. He'd gone there with that in mind, but as soon as he'd crossed the threshold, it had felt different. Stuffy, claustrophobic, almost alien. It was where he lived, but it was not his home. Had never really been his home. In the end, he tossed a razor and a change of clothes in a small valise and returned to the motor car, telling himself that he'd be back in London in time for breakfast with Melinda in the morning. His sister Frances had been married that afternoon, and the reception afterward had gone on until close to midnight. But he remembered the day only in snatches, moments that seemed to loom out of the darkness to fill his thoughts. Standing at the foot of the stairs, waiting for Frances and her attendants to come out of her room and walk down to join him, thinking that his parents should have lived to share this moment with her, that his father should be the one to give her away, and that his mother should be upstairs with her now, putting the final touches on whatever was keeping them. Her hair or her gown. Bridal nerves. And then Melinda Crawford was coming to the head of the stairs, heralding his first glimpse of his sister in her gown. It had been a shaft to the heart to see her, as beautiful as she had ever been and happier than he'd remembered her being for a very long time. There had been someone during the war while he was in France, an officer. She had loved him very deeply. But he had been killed, and she'd never spoken his name afterward. Rutledge had found out about him quite by chance, and never mentioned what he knew. There had been another man after the war, one she'd thought she loved. Rutledge had been through the aftermath with her, offering what comfort he could. But this time, he thought, she'd made the right choice. Then he was sorting the wedding party out as they got themselves and their gowns into the line of motor cars waiting to take them to the church. Much laughter and confusion as Frances remembered something blue, and Melinda had to go back upstairs to find the ribbon that had once belonged to their mother. He'd been afraid from the start that Frances might choose St. Margaret's for her own wedding. It was very fashionable and rather beautiful as well. But the last time he'd seen Jean, the woman he'd expected to marry, she'd been coming out of St. Margaret's after conferring with her bridesmaids over some detail of her own wedding. But not to him. To a man who was being posted to Canada, taking Jean with him to a very different life from the one a shell-shocked former officer of His Majesty's Army could hope to offer. Frances tactfully had chosen St. Martin in the Fields instead, a church his parents had often attended, particularly for evensong. It had significance for Peter as well. His ancestors had been Navy, and St. Martin's was the Admiralty Church. It was just off Trafalgar Square, not very far. He couldn't remember much about that drive, except for his sister's hand holding his and nervously squeezing it sometimes. His next clear memory was of walking through the doors of the church with Francis on his arm, seeing the bunches of silk flowers decorating the pews, ribbons trailing to the floor, and everywhere candlelight, the scent of melting beeswax perfuming the air. The organ was playing, and with the last smile for Frances, Melinda was being led down the aisle on the arm of one of the groomsmen. The music changed, and it was the turn of the bridesmaids, a sea of faces smiling as they passed. Peter was standing by the altar, his face turned toward the door, but he couldn't see Frances yet. There was happiness there, and a sense of wonder, as if he couldn't believe this day had come at last. Waiting for the signal, Rutledge could feel his own heartbeat, and then Frances had looked up at him, tears in her lashes, smiling. He brought her arm closer to his side. "It's beautiful," he said softly. "And so are you." It was what his father might have said, and he knew at once it was the right thing. And then they were pacing down the aisle to the rhythm of the music, and when it had stopped, he took Francis's hand and placed it in Peter's before stepping back. He remembered his lines when the question was asked, "Who giveth this woman?" "Her parents and I," he'd said firmly, because that was what his sister had wanted. He found his seat next to Melinda Crawford, and she reached out to rest her hand on his arm for a moment, as if she knew what was in his heart.